Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It is lovely to have you back up in the studio. How's
Thank
it going?
You. Well, it's hard to get back into getting up early, you know, yeah. in summer mode.
I thought you were going to say it's hard to get into the studio.
Because that's that, also that was hard too. A little bit true, yes.
It's a zoo around here. Yeah, it's really crazy.
Construction. We love it.
Yeah, so anyone else having to come around here know that...
Give yourself an extra 10 minutes or something.
Half an hour.
I don't know. I still do that in the mornings.
I'm a little sweaty, but I've got my physical exercise in today.
Anyway. That's also just like the summer mode. You're just always a bit sweaty and it's fine. You just learn to live with it.
British blues.
Yeah. So this is like a strange... It's got such a strange backstory, but it's hugely popular, hugely influential, but its story's really weird. So some of you won't know, some of you will know the sort of weird... racial history of American rock and roll, that there was the blues, mm-hmm. which is, it was an acoustic form and it had really simple chord patterns, just three chords, and you sort of just ramble on about how life is tough and it's either about relationships or sort of about the government and hard times. And then that sort of evolved into rhythm and blues and became rock and roll and became pop music in the 50s and early 60s. But there were some white British dudes that kind of actually really try to keep hold to the blues part.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously during the course of that time, there were still blues musicians going on and they had swapped to electric.
Yeah.
And so these white British guys, you know, so it's sort of a weird mix.
Mm.
Enjoying the music of these old black dudes from the South and getting into this electric blues, which was... different than pop in that you have these long solos. And it was really part of this development of the electric guitar and the guitar solo.
Totally.
And so we get some of the top guitarists in these bands and the guitar solos and they're just wailing on it. And then here's the weird thing. These guys became so popular that then middle class America started liking it. So it's sort of like it couldn't go direct to middle class America from... the lower class African Americans had to go via Britain.
Oh, wow.
And then come back.
I say validated in quote marks over there and then return back.
And that is a weird thing about audiences. You know, they've always, you know, not to say that any artist is racist or any individual is racist, but audiences have preferred people that look like themselves.
Mm.
You know, that's why even now we still with like British soul, people will prefer Adele and Sam Smith.
Mm-hmm.
over the black artists that created the style. Mm. And so, you know, nothing against those artists. It's just about audiences have this weird racism.
Mm. Yeah. Totally.
Racism's so weird.
It's totally, though. And you kind of see that pattern in lots of different styles of music, but maybe blues and rock and roll are the ones where it's probably the most obvious because it has such a black history as well. Should we kick off John Mayall and the Blues Breakers?
Someone texts in saying British blues like the cat breed. Oh, I love those.
They've got the little smushy faces, eh?
Yeah, I love those. Be disappointed. Well, your kitty will like this.
Wailing guitar is the word for it.
Certainly is.
All the loving is loving. It is some, I always find with all the kissing is kissing. Someone like John Mayall, his voice is kind of a bit, almost a bit incongruous when it kind of hits. You're like, all the kissing is kissing. It sounds kind of tame, you know?
you're loving this kissing.
I am, it's white people blues. It's a gateway drug for us white people. Us white girls, you know?
All your love, pretty baby. So this track is called All Your Love.
You guys are probably all going slower this morning.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I feel my heartbeat slowing down. So what's the deal with John Mayall? Who is he?
Well, the guitarist is actually Eric Clapton. So John Mayall is just one of the really influential guys that got into British blues in London and started playing it. And so this song's from 1967. And these guys are all aware that they're doing black music, you know?
Right.
They loved Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, these, you know, electric blues guys.
So when we talk about British blues as well... Get it, Eric? When we talk about British blues, and we are talking specifically about white British blues.
Yeah.
Where does like black British music fit in this then? Is that, does that have a place within this genre?
No, not at all. It, and here's another weird thing. Jimi Hendrix, American, wasn't really picking up in America.
Right.
And in England, they loved him.
Right.
And around this same time.
Oh.
And they were like, wow, especially because of these guys could see his mastery. And then he got popular back in America.
Right.
Like, because in America, black music had moved on. They were doing soul music.
Mm.
It was a lot more poppy. It was political. It was really produced. They just shifted to a different sound.
Do you think that it kind of had something to do with like the massive prog movement in the UK as well? Because
this became
a lot of
prog.
That noodling guitar and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, this absolutely became prog, and it became hard rock, like Led Zeppelin,
mm-hmm.
and then metal. So it was a hugely important sort of access movement to all these other styles. And I think, you know, all these artists of these later styles really respect.
Yeah.
Like Eric Clapton and these guys.
Should we play a bit of Fleetwood Mac? Because that's sort of an interesting one.
That's a weird
one,
story,
eh?
Too. If you got to rock,
I got to be a rocking horse. This is Rattlesnake Shake.
1969.
I think...
So they were originally a British blues band.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think people forget where Fleetwood Mac kind of got their kicks.
So they had quite a lot of success during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until 74 when they got Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, who were a folk rock
that duo.
They shifted to the what became their later really pop sound. But they were popular with this music too. You
need some love. So is this, who's doing the vocals in this? Is it Mick?
Sounds like it, isn't it?
Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. Thoughts on the old British blues music? 5395, send them through.
But they had this guitarist, Peter Green, who had also played with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers as well.
Okay. So is it kind of one of those scenes where there was a bit of a nucleus and lots of stuff coming off of it? Yeah.
And they all mixed around and joined each other's bands and quit. It's rock and roll, baby. Relationships, fights, drugs. Leaving the tour in anger.
Sounds like, listen to that Rattlesnake Shake.
Yeah, so this is a cover. You know, they would take covers of some of these old...
Yeah.
But also write original songs, too. So they were feeding it and newly creating.
With Fleetwood Mac, were they having success with this music in America before they got Stevie Nicks and Lindsey?
No,
so this was kind of in the UK.
But there was definitely the scene. You know, London's always been a place that it could keep stuff alive with scenes. It's like you almost didn't have to hit the charts.
Right, okay.
If you have good clubs and a good scene,
then
we keep
it
going. Yeah. And you think about the Rolling Stones, they loved their American blues and brought it in.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Beatles loved their old, you know, old African-American dudes.
It is in many ways, it does sound like a Fleetwood Mac song, but it also doesn't sound like, I think, what you think of when you think of Fleetwood Mac.
And maybe these
you
guys
think of the chain
could take the music because
Dreams or something.
They weren't involved in the American situation. You know, they could just hear the American race situation. They could just hear a music they like and go, oh, that's cool, I want to play like that. And kind of feel outside it.
It's Peter Green on vocals, I have been corrected.
Okay,
there we go.
Peter Green.
I thought it sounded a bit not like Mick. He's got a bit more of a... You can hear his accent a bit more when he sings.
And he's real important in the scene too.
Yeah. Somebody says that John Mayall is coming here soon, which is interesting. If you want to get your British blues
not
on...
Not to be confused with John Mayer.
No.
As I did in the beginning, I was like, what?
This doesn't make any sense. Right, we're going to jump into another track that I wasn't necessarily expecting to fit into this. It's Cream.
A lot of people, when we were talking about this yesterday, we were talking about the Rolling Stones being in this.
Yeah. I think there's sort of that rock and roll end of it.
Right.
Mm. And didn't quite get that bluesy... I mean, they loved it, and you can hear its influence.
Yeah.
but these guys were like only doing blues, not rock and roll, right. Not soul.
Are we talking posh kids? Is this kind of a posh kids music, like upper
actually
class?
Yeah, well there were the mods and the you know, there was all those gangs.
Well, the mods weren't really posh necessarily, but the
mods really liked the black music and the Who and that sort of thing. So I think it's all part of that teen rebellion. I'm going to get into this old black man's American music, and American audiences have moved on, and African-American performers, some of them. I'm really impressed that the audience knew all these details.
Yeah. Someone said Eric Burdon came from the slums of Newcastle. So maybe it wasn't all posh kids.
Okay.
I just thought, because there's quite like a RP sound to the way some of these people sing a little bit. Maybe they're just doing that for the
I'm sure definitely in
diction,
the fan scene.
The
you know, it's a rebellion, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm loving how all you guys must, like, there must be some real fans out there.
Someone says Stone's first album was Straight Jump Blues. High Tide Green Grass is quite a bluesy album for the Rolling Stones. See, I find, like, I like British blues, but selectively, because I find something like Cream, this could be blasphemous for somebody out there, so apologies if you're a big Cream fan, but I find it feels a bit hollow to me. There's something less interesting about it than the people they're borrowing from, because it feels a bit like, I don't know, something about it's never quite connected with me in the way that like actual original blues music from America has, maybe. But then also I'm a hypocrite, because I do love that High Tide and Green Grass Rolling Stones album, so who knows.
But it definitely is a gateway, because you know, straight blues can be, it's just so raw and organic, and can seem almost simple. You know, this is a good, you know, I love it when it has that break when everything stops.
Yeah.
And then he starts to sing again.
Does make me want to sort of sit on the front porch of some nice house in the sunshine on a rocking chair, though. You know?
Drink a lemonade. I love that freedom for the guitarist to just
noodle
keep going.
Out.
Yeah, noodle out.
I gotta say, you can't go past a harmonica either.
Yes, some of these bands had harmonicas. With the little neck thing, so you can play guitar at the same time.
Oh, someone's texted and saying they're loving this, they grew up on this, and they love the psych aspect of Cream. Yeah, there is a real psychedelic.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the British thing is, the psychedelic thing as well. They kind of...
Well, yeah, that's another one of the genres that it becomes, and especially back in America then too, with Grateful Dead and Hank Ashbury. Yeah. It becomes drug music.
Drug music. I don't know where that voice came from. End of the week.
Drug music. Oh, there's your harmonica. I like that it's lazy blues too, because sometimes the blues can be, you know, you can get that fast jam
rolling
harmonica.
Along, yeah.
I'm like in the slack.
I do like the lazy blues. Spoons full of water. All the desert sands of London.
Yeah, I always used to find it funny when the Rolling Stones talk about Georgia and stuff, and I'm like, dude,
have you been there? Do you know where that is? And you pointed out on a map.
But it was this fantasy for them, I think, for these white British kids, this American fantasy.
Yeah.
It was just
American
a different
dream.
Way of reading the rock music that the Americans didn't read it.
So if you want to get your British blues on, the tracks we've been listening to this morning are All Your Love by John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, Rattlesnake Shake by Fleetwood Mac, that is the pre-Stevie Nicks, pre-Lindsey Buckingham era.
And those of you who did grow up listening to it, you better check your parents.
Yeah.
What were they smoking in your house? Mom? Dad?
And then we are listening to Cream right now with Spoonful from the album Fresh Cream. What are you bringing us next week, Kirsten?
I think I'm going to go to the... I don't think I've done this before. The greatest genre of all time, disco, right?
I'm so here for it.
Is that the greatest? It's the greatest, right?
I think it's Anna.
It's going to undo everything the British blues artist did. It's the ante.
This was a lovely, lovely way to have you back. A nice cruisy, bluesy morning.
Yeah, and I'm so glad y'all are liking it. That's so cool.
Loving it. John is 86 and still carries his own gear. He's playing Wednesday the 8th of April at the Tuning Fork Classic Album. Thank you very much, Texter.
Yeah.
86. That's mean. That'll be a great gig. Well, thank you very much, Kirsten.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.